Roymans Product Management Podcast. 7 Product Backlog Mistakes to Avoid. The product backlog is a simple but powerful tool to capture and revise detailed product decisions and to direct the work of the development team. Unfortunately, effectively using the backlog can be challenging. This episode discusses 7 common product backlog mistakes to help you recognize and avoid them. The first mistake is the product backlog is too big. A few years ago, I was asked to help a healthcare company with their agile transition and its impact on product management. One of the challenges the agile transition team was concerned about was the choice of the right product backlog tool, which at first seemed odd to me. But when I was told that the backlog in question had over 40,000 items, I could see that there was an issue. Admittedly, that's by far the largest product backlog I have come across to date, but I find it not uncommon to encounter backlogs that range from several hundred to a few thousand items. But such a backlog is difficult to comprehend, let alone prioritize and update. This is problematic, especially for young products and those that experience a bigger change, like a product lifecycle extension, because the backlogs tend to be volatile and require frequent and sometimes bigger adjustments. You should therefore strive to keep your product backlog as concise as possible whenever your product faces uncertainty and change, be it market, business, or technology related. The following 3 techniques will help you with this. First, group related items into themes. Second, keep lower priority items coarse-grained. And third, and most importantly, focus the backlog on a specific product goal. Then decline and remove items that do not serve this goal, as I'll discuss shortly. Mistake number 2. The product backlog is too detailed. Another time, I was asked to help a team of a major charity in the UK whose task was to create a new website for their fundraising campaign. The product owner told me that she'd refined the product backlog as well as she could, but that the development team were still not happy with it. Looking at the backlog, I noticed that it contained only detailed user stories, no epics or other coarse-grained items. But an overly detailed product backlog makes it hard to see the wood for the trees. There is simply too much information. This in turn makes it difficult to prioritize and update the artifact. What's more, it is likely to contain speculative and ultimately wrong items, especially when the development effort is characterized by uncertainty and change. I therefore recommend that you start with an initial product backlog that is intentionally sketchy and incomplete, especially when your product is young or experiences a bigger change. Then let the backlog evolve based on the feedback received from users, customers, and stakeholders. This allows you to minimize the effort to stock the product backlog and to base your product decisions on empirical evidence rather than gut feeling. The third mistake is that the product backlog is not appropriately refined. A while back, I was working with a company that connects consumers in the UK with tradespeople like a plumber or gardener. Back then, the company was still a startup and the product owner had asked me to help them address a planning issue. The development team routinely overcommitted and never managed to complete all the work in a sprint. When I was shown around the office, I saw some paper cards on the wall with big, sketchy epics on them, and I asked the product owner if these were part of the product backlog. The individual replied, "No, this is the product backlog." Given that the backlog did not contain any sufficiently refined, ready items, I was no longer surprised that the development team struggled to get sprint planning right. While you don't want to make your product backlog any more detailed than necessary, you should ensure that its high priority items are ready. This requires them to fulfill the following 3 criteria. First, they are sufficiently clear and understood by the development team. Second, they can be completed in a sprint according to the definition of done. Third, they can be tested. Getting the high priority items ready is best done together with some of the development team members, as I'll discuss in a little while. The fourth mistake is that the product backlog is a wish list. Some product backlogs, like the one with the 40,000 items mentioned earlier, resemble a wish list, a catalogue that contains anything and everything that you might ever need. The trouble with such a backlog is not only that it is usually too big, it also results in a feature soup, a product that resembles a loose collection of unrelated features. This leads to a weak value proposition and a poor user experience, which are hardly hallmarks of a great product. But if these backlogs are so bad, why do they then exist? Well, there are two main reasons. First, a lack of strategic alignment and focus, and second, a lack of empowerment. The former means that there is no product goal that guides the decision if an item should be added to the product backlog or not. You might, for example, brainstorm user stories and then decide to add all of them. Who knows, they might come in handy at some point in time, and they all really do sound good, don't they? A lack of empowerment means that, as the product owner, you have a hard time declining stakeholder requests and feel obliged to accommodate them. But if you are not able to say no, your product backlog is in danger of serving individual stakeholders and their personal goals, rather than maximizing the value the product creates for the users and the business. To prevent your product backlog from becoming a wish list, follow these two tips. First, select a product goal and align your product with a strategic plan like a product roadmap, and I'll talk about this shortly. Second, have the courage to say no. Decline any ideas and requests that are not aligned with the product goal. Mistake number 5, the product backlog is not effectively prioritized. Some time ago, I was working with the product manager of a new healthcare product when I suggested to prioritize its features. The individual looked at me surprised and replied, "I can't. They are all high priority." Prioritization, of course, requires deciding how important an item is. If everything is high priority, everything is equally important. This means, in effect, that nothing is a priority. But without clear priorities, the development team lacks direction. If you struggle to prioritize your product backlog, then try the following two measures. First, ensure that the product backlog items serve a specific product goal, as I've mentioned before. And second, select a small set of practical prioritization factors. The three factors I like to recommend are risk, cost-benefit, and dependencies. Here is how you can apply them. Initially, prioritize the product backlog by risk and consider user, technology, and business-related risks. Assess the backlog items together with the development team and move those to the top that carry the highest risk. This approach accelerates learning and it avoids failing late when changing course is more costly. And once you've addressed the key risks, order the product backlog by cost-benefit. And that means moving those items to the top that give you the biggest bang for the buck, as they say. And don't forget to consider dependencies whilst using the other two factors. And dependencies includes dependencies on the individual team members and on other teams. And these can influence the backlog prioritization. Now, if you find that you're held back by a number of dependencies, and that's sort of a regular issue for you, then look into how you can remove some of those dependencies, how you can break them, possibly by realigning teams or possibly by redefining product boundaries. Mistake number 6, the product backlog is not shared. A few years ago, I was working with a group of product owners based in the Netherlands who wanted their development teams to get better at delivering what they asked for. It turned out that the product owners refined the product backlogs on their own using Jira and handed off the high priority items to the dev teams. And the dev teams were based in Romania. The teams did their best to correctly interpret the user stories, but more often than not, they got it wrong as they had little knowledge about the users and their needs. While a lack of collaboration in the situation described might be obvious to an outsider, I find it not uncommon that development teams aren't properly involved in the product backlog work, but refining, prioritizing, and updating the backlog should be teamwork. As the product owner, invite the development team members to work with you on the backlog and expect that they will support you. If that's not the case, then discuss the issue in the next retrospective. Collaboratively working on the product backlog and co-creating its items offers the following two benefits. First, it leverages the collective knowledge and creativity of the development team, which usually leads to better backlog items, items that are just as detailed as they have to be. At the same time, it allows you as the person in charge of the product to transfer knowledge about the users and their needs to the development team. And second, it makes the development team members feel valued and respected. It empowers them and increases their motivation to work on the product. People are no longer handed requirements to be worked on. They now actively contribute to the product decisions and help shape the solution. So if you don't regularly work on the product backlog together with at least some of the development team members, then I recommend that you give it a go. Set up a collaborative workshop, be it on-site or online, and ask your Scrum Master to facilitate. Initially, this might require you to spend more time working on the product backlog, but in the longer run, it should reduce your workload. It might even result in the development team being happy to do some of the refinement work on their own. And last but not least, the product backlog lacks strategic alignment. A common product backlog mistake and the root cause of several of the mistakes that I've discussed so far is a lack of strategic alignment. The backlog is not systematically connected to a strategic plan like a product roadmap. But without strategic guidance and a clear product goal that governs it, the backlog can easily grow too big, become hard to prioritize, and turn into a wish list. This was also the case for the huge product backlog I mentioned earlier. The strategic objective of the product was unclear, and this made it hard to determine which items should be added to the backlog. I therefore strongly recommend that you connect your product backlog to an actionable product roadmap that states the specific value the product should create in form of product goals for the next 9 to 12 months. Sample product goals might be acquiring users, increasing conversion, removing technical debt to future-proof the product, and reducing cost. And last but not least, the product backlog lacks strategic alignment. A common product backlog mistake and a root cause of several mistakes mentioned so far is a lack of strategic alignment. And this means that the product backlog is not systematically connected to a strategic plan like a product roadmap. But without strategic guidance and a clear product goal or outcome that governs the product backlog, the backlog can easily grow too big, become hard to prioritize, and turn into a wish list. And this was also the case for the huge 40,000 item product backlog I mentioned earlier. The strategic objective of the product was simply unclear, and this made it hard to determine which items should be added to the backlog and which shouldn't. I therefore strongly recommend that you connect your product backlog to an actionable product roadmap that states the value the product should create in form of product goals for the next 9 to 12 months. Sample product goals might be acquiring users, increasing conversion, removing technical debts to future-proof the product, and reducing cost. The benefit of using a product roadmap with product goals on it is that you can then use the next goal on the roadmap in order to direct the product backlog. You simply take that goal, copy it into the product backlog, and then only add items that help you meet this product goal and remove all existing items that are not necessary in order to deliver the goal. And this results in a focused product backlog that is comparatively concise, and it gives you a clear criterion for deciding what to add to the product backlog and which requests and ideas you should reject. I hope you found this episode helpful. You can learn more about effectively working with the product backlog by attending my product owner training course and by reading my book, Agile Product Management with Scrum. Thank you for listening.